Okay. So I see some new faces today, and just in case you didn't hear, I'll say it again. I'm Candace. I'm the children's pastor here at Enjoy Life Church, and I've been serving here since 2023, and I absolutely love it. I think God made my dreams come true, and I felt the calling of God at an early age, and I'm just thankful for this opportunity to serve kids. It's where my heart is. Like I said, I lay awake sometimes at night. God wakes me up, and just this burning passion builds within me for what God can do. And it's so exciting to see what God can do in a life. But before I get started into what I want to share, I don't know if Tasha's here. If she might be busy at the moment. She's at the back. Okay, and is Maya here too? Or is she in the back as well? Okay, well, maybe I'll have to. Well, you know what? I'm going to honor them, even though they're not here. You need to know they were on my lead team, and they have to step down, which is okay. We have seasons. But they have served with such excellence. They have served faithfully. They have loved much on your kids. They served with incredible dedication, creativity. If you have a chance, please thank them. We believe so much in the work that God is doing here, but it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of commitment. And if these are two women, if you could emulate, follow what they're doing. And they're beautiful women, love the Lord. I'm so grateful for them, and I just wanted to honor them. And I'll take time to do this one-on-one as well. And we have been chatting, but anyways, you just need to know how special they are. Today, I want to share with you why I can serve in this role with great joy and with much anticipation for what God can do in the lives of kids. I know firsthand the impact children's ministry can have on a life. I've shared before that when I was a child, the Lord placed special people in my life who were faithful to His word and to the calling of serving children. They didn't just teach me Bible stories, they showed me the love of God in real and tangible ways. They demonstrated what it means to follow Jesus, and they helped to lay a foundation of faith that God has continued to build upon in my life. Because of that, and because of the calling I have on my life, I carry a strong conviction in my heart that what we do here in children's ministry matters. It matters now and long into eternity. The seeds we plant will prepare hearts for the transforming work of God, which will bear much fruit and change the course of their lives. This morning, I want to share with you some of the core beliefs to which I hold. These aren't just nice thoughts or ministry strategies. These are convictions rooted in the Word of God, convictions that fuel my heart for the children God has entrusted to us. First, I believe in the powerful work God's Word can have in our lives. Hebrews 4:12 reminds us that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. God's Word is not a children's storybook, it is alive, and it has the power to cut through lies, fear, sin, especially in the heart of a child. His Word speaks purpose and breathes life to those who hear it. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and walked among us." If we want our kids to know Jesus, they need to know His Word. He is the living Word of God. Second, I believe that as a leader and as a teacher of God's Word, that I must depend wholly on the power and work of the Holy Spirit, and that He alone can change hearts and minds. No amount of creative lesson planning can replace the person of the Holy Spirit and the special transformative work that He does. The teachers and I cannot do children's ministry in our own strength. To try and do this work on our own would be to labor in vain. Eventually, the work would just fizzle out like a candle at the end of its shelf life. Only the Holy Spirit can take our kids on a journey that is unique to their purpose and calling. Third, I also believe it is the Father's heart to reach the lost. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." That includes children. No child is too far gone, no home too broken, no heart too hardened for the Father to reach. This is true for every child, for everyone, anywhere, who will turn in faith to Jesus. I believe he is calling always, and whoever hears may come. So we make sure we give numerous opportunities for children to respond to the voice and calling of the Holy Spirit to come to Jesus each Sunday. Fourth, I believe God opens the eyes of those who are dead in their sin and without hope. Ephesians 2:4-5 tells us, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." He is still in the business of raising the dead to life, even the youngest hearts. He offers forgiveness and eternal hope and is a continual fountain of renewing. Do you need that this morning? I stand in awe of God and all he has done in my life. I will never neglect proclaiming the awesome light that came into my life, the feeling of hope and meaning I found in him. To this day, I struggle to adequately capture the immensity of the work of the cross and the greatness of his love. I pray that as I serve in this role, that my life will bring glory to his name. Fifth, I believe in the constant and unfailing work of God in us for our good. Isaiah 61 describes the Father's heart, which has not changed from the creation of the world to this day, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. He restores those who are broken. He gives hope where there is none. This is the heart behind all the work he does in us. His ways are marvelous and beyond understanding. And one thing I know for certain is this: God is doing a special work in the lives of our children. It is a mystery to watch a child grow, to see the beauty and wonder in them as they experience and discover their world. But we can also see and recognize the reality of sin at work in their hearts and minds from an early age. That is why it's so amazing to see when kids embark on a journey with Christ. When he does work in them, it goes far beyond anything we ever say to them. As they submit to him, he takes the reins of their lives, and their motivation and their direction now comes from deep within. Colossians 2:6-7 says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith." Storms will come, and the enemy is always at work using deception and lies to knock us off track, to keep us off track, and most importantly, to keep us from daily communion with Christ. This is another reason why we must be rooted firmly in the Word of God. God does not simply begin a work in us, he absolutely and unfailingly will finish it. Paul tells the Philippian church that God, who began a good work in us, will bring it to maturity until Jesus returns. Ephesians 6 reminds us that we are in a spiritual battle and must put on the full armor of God. Our task is to help those we influence recognize the truth, pick up the shield of faith, and wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We want not only to lead them into a relationship with Jesus, but we must help equip them for life and all its inevitable challenges. His work is also in partnership with us as we put on the armor of God, as we persevere in prayer and faith and the Word of God. It is really an invitation to continually give the Lord the fullness of our heart and attention. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." It is essential that the children grow to recognize the shepherd's voice above all others. So when the world and the adversary shout lies, the children will know what is true. Recently, my dad introduced me to a new app called Pause. It's a prayer app which is based on books by John Eldridge. The first program is called Experiencing Jesus. The premise of his teaching is that we were created for deep, rich, meaningful connections with Jesus daily, often. It's what is meant to propel us through life, bring us joy, peace, and strength. It is what we were created to experience. The work of God in us is intimately connected to our communion and connection with Him. This year in Sunday school, I pray that we do, I pray what we do is filled with many deep, rich, and meaningful encounters with Jesus. I ask that you pray for me and all the teachers and helpers. Pray that we'll become more sensitive and dependent on the Holy Spirit. Pray that Jesus would walk among us when we meet. Pray that somehow in the busyness of our time together, we would always carve out time to be still and hear him and let him work in our hearts and minds. My prayer is that our children will know him, hear his voice, and follow him. And ultimately, my desire is that their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to take a moment and we're going to read through Psalm 145. This psalm beautifully declares the heart of God, who he is from generation to generation. Let's begin in verse 4. One generation will praise your works to another and will declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. People will ask or speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They will burst forth in speaking of your abundant goodness, and they will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works will give thanks to you, Lord, and your godly ones will bless you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your might, to make known to the sons of mankind your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in his words and holy in all his works. The Lord supports all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry for help and save them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but he will destroy all the wicked. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. May the heart of God and how he works take hold of us and leave its mark on all we do. Would you please join me in prayer? Dear Lord, I pray that we may never lose the fear and wonder of your greatness. May we never lose the personal revelation of your love and kindness with which you do all things. Help us go deep into your word and live in your presence. Help us plant seeds. Help us rely on you, Holy Spirit. Let us keep trusting your heart. And we pray that you will receive all the glory. Amen. I pray that God has spoken to your heart today, that you have been encouraged to hear him in a fresh and deep new way, because each of us was created for this, to experience him in rich and meaningful ways each day. I pray that you too can say with confidence that you know his voice and are following him. And if you hear the Spirit calling today and want to begin your journey and know the purpose and reason for which he created you, please come and speak with Leonard, PG, or myself, and we would love to speak and pray with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Candace. I've got one last question to ask of someone, but he has to be the person that usually has the loudest voice. Does anyone have a guess? No one? Okay, Leonard. Okay, good. I'll ask Leonard a question then. Leonard, if you could charge a family, a husband and wife who's starting a new family, if you could charge them with one thing, like what would you tell them? I can preface this because I, as a dating student, 20 years ago, stood in a church at the back by the sound desk, minding my own business, and a man came up to me and grabbed me like he usually does to many of you. He holds your face and he says to you, "You are made for a purpose." So now I look at my friend Leonard again in light of us ending the service about what it means to raise school, teach children. And I want him to charge us again. Imagine him grabbing your face as he stands up. As he stands up. To charge us. Amen. With whatever you got in your heart.
Amen. Life's full of endings and new beginnings, seasons, marriage, school, life, careers, movements, kids. So I hope I said something good to you back then. I did. Okay. My charge to anyone as a parent, with especially in light of Candace's message today and just the new year and school and Sunday school and all the things we're talking about, celebrating Fun Day, is just make up your mind that you're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How long will you stagger between two opinions? You know, that sermon, I could preach it all morning, but just make some decisions. Our kids, they go to Sunday school. Our house, we tithe. We attend church. Like, just settle some of that stuff. It doesn't have to be a question every week and, oh, what about this? Just settle it. And as Candace said, around the Word of God, around the house of God, around living faith, just that.
Thank you, Leonard. You can clap for him. He's... And now I have the privilege of officially bringing this one down a bit and then hyping it up on the other side. I hope there's loud music. I hope someone's singing, dancing outside. I hope that the barbecues are fired up and ready to go. The bouncy houses are inflated. I hope that Kay is not going to go jump on a bouncy house now because he'll break it.